This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Shut up.
Barry Rosner, the fine baseball beat writer for the Daily Herald.
I don't care about that either. I don't care about any of this. I don't really care about anything anymore, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. He's short.
Very.
Lies a lot. Half his stuff is made up. Never gives me a good golf pick. Other than that, he's a pretty good guy.
Lawrence, I'm glad you got away from Bernstein. Honest to God, what a gift for you. What a gift for you to have escaped that nightmare and to now be with Matt. And I hope both of your lives are so much better now than they were before.
And author of, wrote the book for Ryan Sandberg, too, by the way. Very readable book.
I want to say thank you to friends like Barry Rosner, great writer and good friend. It's fun talking baseball with you, Barry.
Barry Rosner.
Seriously, why are you guys bothering me? What do you want from me? I think I've made it clear that I don't really want to participate anymore. And yet you call and you call. I'll say it again. I love Tanny, but I don't understand why he just won't leave me alone. Seriously.
Spiegel and Holmes.
So long, everybody.
Afternoons on the Score.
We don't like having to call Barry Rosner. But we like calling Barry Rosner.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the thing about
the contrary,
this.
Right?
Well, you know, you could say no a time or three. Actually, you do.
He has.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a really good
yeah,
point.
Yeah, you know, I really like not being a public figure anymore. I love being a private person. I really just want to be left alone more than anything. But I've really come to accept that you guys won't accept that. So here I am. What can I possibly do to make your lives better?
Well, here's the thing. The Blackhawks are good. Like, they're really, like, legit good and interesting. They seem to be well coached by a guy who's done it before. We've known about Connor Bedard, and he has a huge night last night with the A on his sweater, and you need to speak to that. But they also have, like, a hot young goaltender who seems to have kind of transformed some things. And I have it on pretty good authority that the one sport you do pay attention to, the one sport that you actually care about as a viewer for the most part, is hockey. So you played it for a long time. You've written beautifully about the Blackhawks. For God's sakes, we wanted to call you and see what you think of this batch. And what they're doing.
Well, you use the word interesting, and I think that's the best way to describe it. It's really interesting to watch this young team. I don't know if what they're doing right now is sustainable this particular season. But it's fun. it's really interesting. And it's, you know, it's really cool for Bedard not only to have the A, which I you know, look, he's trying to make the Canadian Olympic team. And right now they're going to have a hard time keeping him and Celebrini off it. But that's what I think the focus of a lot of players is right now. It's also a condensed season, so there's a lot of games. Points are up for grabs. I was watching third period at Toronto last night. Toronto-St. Louis, they were both playing like it was a game in March, a three-point game in March. It's crazy what's happening right now. But in particular for Bedard, I think it's really for me, it goes back to Mark Messier last year when he absolutely trashed Connor Bedard. I thought a lot of it was unfair. I thought some of it was fair. But I thought Mark Messier, wow, Mr. Big Balls, you know, what, have you ever criticized Patrick Kane in your life? Patrick Kane has played 19 years without meeting his own goaltender. I mean, he meets him at the banquet at the end of the year, introduces himself. He's a 70-foot player who people call the greatest American of all time, which is tragically stupid. Chris Chelios is by 5,000 miles the best American player of all time. But, you know, Kane has gotten away with it forever. Nobody criticizes him. Here's Connor Bedard on a terrible hockey team trying to make something happen. Yeah, he's on the wrong side of the puck a lot last year. But if he didn't score or wasn't involved, they weren't going to score. So he's torn between trying to do the right thing and trying to create some offense. Messier absolutely destroyed him. I thought some of it was legit. Some of it was very unfair. So he goes home in the offseason. Does not go play at the Worlds. Celebrini did. Bedard did not. He went right to work. He got thicker. He got stronger. He got faster. His feet are better. And that's very hard to do. You know, but he's 20 years old. I mean, can we remember that? He's 20 years old. He's going to reach his physical peak in 10 years. He's 20. I think what he's doing amazing. He's still doing a lot of it on his own and a lot of it on the fly. They don't really have a lot of zone time as a team. They're not very big. They've got to get bigger. They've got some great players coming. They've got six or seven guys coming. I mean, in a year or two, this is going to be really fun. I don't know if it's sustainable this season, but it sure is fun. They're much better defensively. I think that's probably a credit to Jeff Blashill. They're bigger defensively. They're not mean enough defensively. I'd like to see them punish some people when they have the opportunity. But, you know, the neutral zone is still a little bit of a problem, and that's why there's a lot of dump and chase. But the dump without the chase is just a big dump. And, you know, they don't really retrieve a lot. But they've got some, you know, they've got some good, annoying players who are in there trying to do those kinds of things. They team's got to get bigger. But I'll tell you what, it is interesting. It is fun. I find myself sort of looking at games sometimes the way Dennis Hopper did in Hoosiers, when you would just see him smile, when he would see the kind of things that Gene Hackman was trying. And that when I see the young guys make mistakes, I think, wow, that's going to be interesting at the video session tomorrow, because they do make a lot of mistakes. But, you know, look at Leshinov, who I thought was going to be sent back to the AHL after three games. That's how bad he was. And the last four or five, he's been terrific. I mean, he's still, look, his footwork is awful, and he's got a lot to learn. But he's 20, and I don't even know if he speaks English. Oliver Moore all of a sudden realizes he's the fastest player on the ice. And he's like, okay, I'm going to be the fastest player on the ice. And it's very entertaining to watch. I love what's happening. And I'm very encouraged about what we will see in the next year or two or three.
If they're going to maximize Bedard, and I think we're seeing a ramp up in productivity with him, what type of players need to be added, or are the players on the roster now and they just need more ice time?
I don't know that he's got two wingers on the roster now who really can see what he's thinking and be where he needs them to be, or to get him the puck when he needs the puck. That's a big problem. He never has the puck. I mean, it is amazing that he produces the way he produces when he never has the puck. It's just, it speaks to the extraordinary skill that he has, that he's able to get shots away in traffic the way that he does. That toe drag wrist shot, my God, I've never seen anything like it. Maybe there has been one, but I can't remember one. Lawrence, I think they need, I mean, look, Burakovsky seems to be getting it. It kind of feels like he gets it, but I'm not sure that he can react quickly enough. But he could be a guy. But they've got to get someone big. Maybe it's one of the guys that are still overseas. They got to get someone big to play on that line. I mean, Frank Nazar could play with them, but then you got two jockeys on the same line, and teams take liberties with them, you know, all the time. So they've got to get some size on that line for him. Someone who's going to go retrieve pucks, someone who's going to be in the corner. I hate to see Connor Bedard doing that. He does it. God bless him for it, but he's going to get killed in there. So, skill and size, Lawrence, hard to find. You know, there's not a lot of Al Secords or Todd Bertuzzi's or Cam Neely's or people like that. I'm name the power forwards in the game today. I don't know how many there are. There aren't very many.
Barry Rosner.
Well, at least the Blackhawks do have a Bertuzzi, though, so that's good.
Yeah, but, I mean, just have one. How many Bertuzzi's do you need, Barry? Your thoughts. How many? Big pile of them?
If you're going to have one, three would be good. I'd like three. Two who play like the current Bertuzzi and one who's actually Todd Bertuzzi, who could beat the living hell out of anyone and also score a lot of goals and had great hands. But, yeah, I think, Lawrence, that's the thing. They've got to get some size on that line for him. But you know what? They're doing a good job with this. I mean, they are collecting players, and they've got some coming that you are going to love.
I think they have a goalie, Barry. This is what I keep thinking about is like Spencer Knight, who was the last first round pick by Dale Tallon as GM of the Florida Panthers, by the way. Spencer Knight is having kind of a breakout here as he's ninth in all of the NHL with his goals against average. He's been really, really good. I want to know if you feel like they've got a goalie and what that does to a team. If they think they've got a goalie, what that can do to a collective confidence?
Well, it changes everything, Matt. I mean, if you know you don't have to be perfect back there, it sure takes a lot of pressure off you. He's been phenomenal. I absolutely think they have a guy now, and that's key. What's his save percentage? Like 925 or something like that? Incredible. They're
924, you know, second to Logan Thompson of Washington in the NHL.
Yeah, I don't know if that's sustainable either, but wow, he's been good. I think they're fifth in goals against, but like 29th in shots allowed or something like that, which explains the save percentage. There's a lot of things here where if you're watching the games, you kind of think, I don't know if they can keep doing this quite this way, but maybe they can. Who knows? Maybe they'll threaten the playoff spot this year, but Knight's been great. Don't forget, he was the MVP of a U.S. team that won the world championship, that won the gold medal against Canada in the World Juniors. That is a very, very big deal. You'll never come under more pressure than that. Anything you do after that, it will feel pretty normal, even if it's a Stanley Cup final. That's how big that is, the World Junior Tournament. So I think they've got their guy. Whether he can continue to play at this level all season, I would imagine he'll have a time or two where it's not going to look as pretty as it has because it's just really hard to do. But he's been very good.
Hey, Barry, we know you don't like baseball anymore. You're done with it. That's fine. You don't want to host Hit and Run. Lawrence has hosted Hit and Run more recently than you've hosted Hit and Run, as a matter of fact.
But you know what? I actually hosted Hit and Run with Barry.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, one of the many, many times that you chose not to show up for work, Matt, Lawrence came in and we had a nice time.
Of course you did.
A very nice time.
Well,
when both teams were really bad, too. Those days of hit and run were not very pleasant.
It was a grim moment.
Although I strain to think of any time I ever had at that station that was pleasant. But
hey, we're not talking about management. We're not doing that, okay?
Oh, okay.
Well, all right. There
Are
is
you
a
sure
baseball
that I
thing
can't,
that we want to.
Because really, I. You
no,
know,
you're good.
I can't be.
You're breaking
I can't
up,
be
Barry.
Canceled.
You're breaking
I can't
up.
Be canceled.
Yeah, we can, though. You're breaking up.
Well, there's a baseball thing that we want to ask you. And look, this isn't. We won't get into specifics. Like, we won't talk about, I don't know, the Cubs situation. But let's just say, hypothetically, if you had a pitcher that was a decent enough pitcher, but you felt like you could do better. So you decided that you weren't going to pick up their option, and then they decided that they weren't going to pick up their option, and then you decided, well, I'd like to get something for this pitcher, so I'm gonna give them the qualifying offer. And then the pitcher's like, man, that qualifying offer seems like a really good deal. I'm going to take that qualifying offer now.
Uh-oh.
And this is just hypothetical. Like, we're not talking about anyone specifically, and definitely not someone named Shota Imanaga. But if this were to happen to a team, wouldn't it seem like perhaps they misread the market on what the player was looking for, and maybe now we'll have less money to do the things that they actually wanted to do this offseason?
That's
a really
good hypothetical there, Lawrence. That's excellently put.
Thank you.
This is hypothetical involving no Chicago team, I assume?
Yeah, no.
Correct. Yeah. Just throwing it out there Speaks and I were discussing it, and it's not specific to any team, the Cubs, but it's something that we did want to get your opinion on.
What is a qualifying offer now?
$22 million, Barry.
Oh, Lord. And what is the threshold for the salary tax or whatever they call it?
Oh, yeah.
Now?
They're still like, I don't know, they're $51 million away from the first apron or the first, the first
hypothetically.
Threshold. Yeah,
hypothetically.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know if they have any more money to spend on another big righty power arm. Hypothetically.
Wow. Wow, that sounds like somebody really screwed up, is what it sounds like to me. I do not know, honestly, the name of the person you just mentioned, which is hypothetical anyway. And, of course, we're not talking about any specific team. But that sounds like somebody really, really messed up. So was this a player that they could have traded at some point, or did they need him in order to get to the playoffs this year?
That's a great question. It's a good question. They did have him. He did help him get to the playoffs, but it's sort of telling that in, the most important playoff game of the year, he was healthy and rested and warming up in the bullpen, and they chose not to use him in any of the 9 available innings as their season ended. That seems sort of telling.
So what would be the possible explanation for qualifying then? Thinking that he absolutely was not going to take it?
That's the way that it feels, that they were thinking, oh, he'll go get a 2-year or 3-year deal somewhere else. And
so
he
now
was
they're
like,
stuck.
No, I like this money that you guys offer me for this 1 year.
Yeah, so now they're shackled to him. Yeah.
So now they're stuck. wow, I've seen people get fired for stuff like that. That's a big mistake.
If that's how it went down.
Yeah. Hypothetically.
Right.
Yeah, hypothetically. So what other options did they have then? I mean, when it was still, like I said, the first thing that comes to my mind is, why didn't they trade him?
Yeah, they didn't, and now, they still could on the qualifying offer, but, it's doubtful that they will.
Like, in this scenario that we're painting, not a real one, but in this scenario, it does seem like maybe there was a miscalculation here, but that's neither here nor there. There's one more thing that we want to share with you. And it has to do with what
I guess we're done with hockey, so that's okay.
Hey, man, you got a lot of hockey in. You helped us. We helped you. We put you on the air, which you pretend you don't want. You know what I mean?
Wait,
and then
you helped me.
Oh, no.
Help me.
Actually,
quick squeaks, please take that back.
Yeah, no, let me take that back. We didn't mean to help you. That's our bad. Here's one more. So Ben Johnson has been saying this thing, Barry. We need you because
he's the coach of the Bears, Barry.
Yeah, he's the coach of the Bears.
That's a good point, Tanny.
You know nothing about everything. That's our favorite thing about you. You don't know anything about everything. Ben Johnson's been using this when he celebrates with his team. He's been saying this to his team. It's very exciting. It's very rousing. People love it. It's kind of cool. We discovered that in...
That's Billy Williams from his Hall of Fame speech.
Bam! Bam!
Is that a Is that like a big thing going around right now, or that's just a Bears thing, or what?
That's the Bears thing, but you know it from the original Chicago media source. This is why we called. You know it. So here's Billy from his Hall of Fame speech. Hell yeah.
Good, better, best. Never let it rest until the good is better and the better is best.
Is that beautiful? Your thoughts?
I love Billy. Man, I love Billy Williams. You guys probably never saw him play. Man, you'll never see a more beautiful swing in your life. And what a nice man. I hope he's doing well. Ben Johnson doesn't dance in the locker room like Matt Nagy, right? Because when Matt Nagy was dancing in the locker room, the Chicago media anointed him Vince Lombardi because he danced in the locker room with his players. I thought that wasn't that big a deal. I thought being Vince Lombardi was a big deal, but dancing in the locker room was a big deal. Of course, many also thought that Trubisky and Fields were going to the Hall of Fame. So sometimes you got to be careful. What's the matter, Matt?
I might have been
positive.
You have
to be careful where you, I might where, have been you positive where you about get your some of those information people. From, I guess. But I've seen some of the Bears. I really like Caleb Williams. I don't know that he's much different, really, than he was last year when I watch him play. But what I feel like is happening – and again, this is, I truly, forgive me, I truly don't pay that close attention, but I kind of feel like Caleb Williams is trying to do some of the things that Ben Johnson wants him to do. And I think that Ben Johnson is kind of accepting of the fact that there are certain things that Caleb Williams is going to do, and he's going to have to let him do those things if he wants the player to be a great player. They're also... I'm also not sure what they're doing is sustainable, but again, I do not consider myself well-versed in what's happening.
Barry, we love you, and we are so happy that you made time for us. And sure, we did a bait and switch and said we're going to ask you a little bit of hockey and throw in some other things, but that's the only way we can get you on the air these days, so you got to forgive us for that. We were just trying to give the people what they want, and what people want is more Rosner. So we gave it to them.
I don't believe that for one second, but whatever. It's always, how can I put it? Always annoying to hear from you guys. But, you know, if this kills a segment for you and it makes your day a little bit better, then, you know, I guess that's good for you. I don't know who else it's good for. I doubt it. I know it's not good for me. I doubt it's good for anybody listening. But it's good for you guys, and so great. I guess you'll just keep doing it whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, I guess so. Peoria Matt said the segment was very listenable, so that's good. Thank you, Barry. You're the best.
You're a treasure, Barry. We love you, man.
See you, man.
All right, see you. See you, boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. The coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it.
Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Coach for IC Catholic football.
Matt Bowen, a man from Glen Ellyn, Illinois. He's very active.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
Is there anything that's improved on the offense enough to slow Brian Flores down, to make him maybe think twice about the blitz packages he uses against the Bears?
I don't think it matters to him. Brian Flores reminds me of playing for Greg Williams. Is this, you know, they have a certain identity, right? That's what they are. They are going to bring pressure. There are ways to beat pressure, to get the ball out, to throw in location, to throw in a rhythm where, hey, I have a pressure coming, but it's not going to get home because the ball's out so quickly because I see it fast enough. And that's one way to counter pressure, is how quickly your quarterback can ID it and get the ball out.
Blitz is coming. Williams gets rid of it here, and Adunze diving in for a great catch. And he gets up now, not caught, and he searches forward. Still going is Adunze. Did that turn into 17 yards?
He lays out at 6, gains 17. Look at this effort.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love, love, love talking with Matt Bowen about the game that you love and the team that you love, the Chicago Bears. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, you were right about Brian Flores. Not only was he not going to stop blitzing, he blitzed at almost double the pace that he ordinarily does. Now, some of that was to stop the run game, but sure. He was here for blitzing and putting some pressure on the Bears. What did you think of the matchup between the two coaches?
I thought it was a great matchup. And look, you saw throughout that football game, Ben Johnson wanted to run the ball. I mean, I think that's becoming a clear identity of this football team right now. Because yes, they're going to be balanced. They're going to take their shots like we saw this past weekend. And obviously, they had some misses down the field, but they are going to run the football. And that's like we talked about last week, Lawrence. That's one way to counter pressure. That's one way to attack the edges with the run game. But also, look what Caleb did versus pressure. And I'm not saying he had a bunch of splash plays as a thrower, but how many times did he get outside and escape pressure and extend plays? And how many quarterbacks in the league can do that? I think it's one thing you have to take away from this football game. We'll get to more with Caleb, but the number one thing I looked at today when watching his throws was his ability to escape or evade pressure and keep the play alive.
So when it comes to him being able to handle the blitz, I thought there was an improvement from last week to this week. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
I thought so, too. I think he ID'd it quick enough. I think he got the ball out of time when he had options to get the ball out hot, and Ben Johnson helped him too. A lot of 12 personnel. Okay, I have the number right here. The Bears had 31 snaps of 12 personnel. That's one running back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. That was the second most in the NFL last week. Philadelphia was first at 40. Why do you do that? One, it gives you extra protection too, because you got two tight ends. And if you want to take your deep shots down the field, it gives you max protection. Look, also, what does that do? Gives you more opportunities for boot plays. And that's, again, become another part of this football team, is getting Caleb to the edges of the formation on boot. And it doesn't mean they're going to be explosive plays every time. What you're doing is you're moving the pocket versus pressure. You're getting him to the edge, and you're giving him a hot read underneath to get the football out of his hands. Maybe you get five, maybe you get six, but you get a positive gain off it.
Oh, Matt, that's good stuff. I because I can look at snap counts and see, but you just telling us they were number two in the league in 12 personnel in terms of two timeouts or two tight ends. You don't have 13, do you? Because I know they had three timeouts a couple times. Durham Smythe got some plays as well.
Yeah, I can pull up 13. Okay. Take me one sec, speak, but
yeah, that's all right. But I'm just curious because. Ben is doing so much to help Caleb, and your colleague Ben Solak over at ESPN did a great job today in writing about how Ben is making Caleb's life easier. Let me throw a couple of these at you from your guy Ben, okay?
Okay.
Caleb has seen base defense on his dropbacks more than any quarterback in the league except Lamar. So when he drops back, he's seeing base defense, not nickel. And that's because they're running the ball so well and so much, right?
Yes, 100% it is, because you have to make a decision there as a defense. Do I keep my slot corner in the game? Is my slot corner physical enough to play in the box? Because you have to think, when you go in motion, okay, if you're playing zone defense, speaks, and you go in motion across the formation, a lot of times it is bump, right? It is bump over in zone. So what that means, your slot corner becomes your outside linebacker. So if your slot corner cannot handle it, cannot play, you know, inside the box, it's a problem. So that forces you to bring your base personnel, whether that's 34 or 43 front, but you got to get your linebacker back in the field.
And then this one, the third highest percentage of play action on his dropbacks behind only Jared Goff and Daniel Jones. So Caleb drops back the third most in play action. Fitz, I'll give you one more, Matt, and then ask you. 30.2% of his targets have been wide open. You filter out the throws that are even behind the line of scrimmage, they're still number one. Even if you filter out the behind the line of scrimmage stuff, they are still number one. So Ben Johnson's doing an unbelievable job setting up his young quarterback, isn't he?
Yeah, I agree, Spiggs. And part of that play action is, I was watching it last week when I went back to the Giants film, a lot of under center play action. Okay, and we've talked about that throughout the course of the season, what that does for a quarterback in terms of the footwork, the rhythm, and playing on time, because unlike when you're in a shotgun situation, the footwork is much more precise. It's much more muscle memory. The ball's coming out on time. And to your point with the stat you just said about the wide-open throws, you're scheming throws from them. They're more defined throws. He has quicker eyes. I'm getting one to two, and most likely I'm getting to one, especially on in-breaking routes, and that's been a big part of Ben Johnson's offense going back to last season in Detroit.
I want to ask you a big question, a big picture question about offense, because over the last couple of weeks, people have been noticing what Sean McVay has been doing. And it's a really good example of like ebb and flow of offense and defensive adjustment, where this was a team that was almost always in 11 personnel. Then they had some injuries. So then they would end up being in 13 personnel, which is crazy for the Rams and what McVay usually likes to do. They have now figured out a way that they're going to bully people with 11 personnel in the run game because their wide receivers will go out there and block. And they love to do this against nickel because they feel like they've got lighter guys out there and they can be more physical. These are the types of things that when, like, you know, Blood, Sweat, and Chalk is like my favorite book. So like the counter to what it is that you're trying to do. I love to see this type of ingenuity. And we all know that Sean McVay is super good at looking at trends and then bucking them.
No, he is. And I have no problem saying that McVay is the best play caller in the NFL. That's no disrespecting Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Ben Johnson. No disrespect to those guys, but I think what you're getting at with McVay, and that's been part of the process the last couple of years in L.A. There used to be, you know, like the Bears, a heavy outside zone or wide zone team. With Kyren Williams, he's more of a downhill runner. They went to more power or gap the last couple of years to fit their trait to the running back. Right? There's simple things you can do also from a personnel perspective when you're scheming. And to your point, when you have wide receivers that can insert into the line of scrimmage, that's what they do in L.A., and fit up on a safety or a linebacker, it gives you a bunch of possibilities from a play calling perspective.
Luther Burden is pretty much the number three wideout now, guys. It 33 snaps. Zacchaeus, I think, only had 14. He had one bad drop, one of three bad drops. But what do you think? We talked a lot about it last week. I don't know if they just swapped out him for Zacchaeus or if they schemed certain things. But what do you think of Luther Burden's usage?
I liked it. And going back to what we said last week, Speaks, you got to find ways to get him on the field and find ways to get football in his hands. You saw a couple screens underneath him, which we talked about. Catch and run ability is electric with Luther Burden. Plus, he is a very good route runner. And you're getting him, you know, isolation targets on the boundary. We know he can play inside as a slot target, too. You can get him on the move with pre-snap motion. A lot of things you can do with him. But I think this is the point of the season. And when you're getting close to Thanksgiving, where if you're a rookie, it's time to go. It's time to go, right? And that's how I would teach it as a coach. Like, hey, in terms of motivation, it's time to go now. You've played in this league for 3 months now. You understand it. We need to win football games. We're going to get the football in your hands. Now you got to go out there and be productive.
One more thing on the snap counts, Lawrence. Zacchaeus, 10, same number as Ozzie Trapillo. That speaks to the game plan. They used Zacchaeus the same number of times as an extra offensive lineman. So.
Which is really, really some cool stuff. That seeing Ozzie Trapillo get an opportunity to be out there in the jumbo package is fun. It's giving him reps and hopefully getting him ready to play a little bit more. But it's definitely not going to be a right tackle because Darnell Wright continues to impress week after week. What would you say, Matt, is the thing that maybe looks different from the first 2 years of Darnell Wright?
The play demeanor. Okay, I think this is one of the most important things when you talk about the line of scrimmage in football, whether it's a defensive or offensive perspective, is the play demeanor. Are you physical? Are you nasty? We can sit here all day and talk about technique and footwork and hand placement and stuff that is great in a coaching clinic. But if you're talking about an offensive lineman, do you have a nasty play demeanor? Are you a tone setter on the offensive line? Are you a finisher? I think that's what you're seeing right now with him. As he's taken it up a level in terms of how he plays the game of football, that could be coaching, that could be experience, that could be comfortability within a certain scheme. But right now, he is nasty on tape.
Yeah, you mentioned some of those outlets to Cole and others, like on the other side of the blitz. How much of that was Ben? How much of it was Caleb to your eyes? And maybe it doesn't matter because eventually you want them both to be thinking about it, but just trying to figure out what's what, because that was clearly well executed to deal with the amount of blitzing.
Yeah, I think that's part of it is the game plan perspective speaks is you want the ball in his hands. You want him to the edge of the pocket because of all the interior pressure that Brian Flores will bring. I've always said Brian Flores is a chaos creator. That's what he is. And there's not a lot of time to sit in that pocket. So let's move the pocket. Let's get into the edges and get him a quick dump off. Also, the underneath, take the checkdowns. Take the checkdowns with Loveland and Kmet. They're physical after the catch. That's what you want. So you saw the one throw to Loveland underneath. I think it was a third down play. Now you're forcing the defense to tackle, right? That's the thing with checkdowns. And I've played defensive football my whole life, and that's what the coach says, right? Make them throw it underneath. Okay, we get that, right? You still got to tackle. If it's to a tight end, it's not as easy as it sounds. So put them in a position where they can run through tackles and move the sticks also.
We've talked a ton about Brian Flores, and that makes sense. But let's talk about Dennis Allen. What did he do to make J.J. McCarthy uncomfortable? And what were the breakdowns that happened when the Vikings started to get right and took the lead?
Well, I think I'll start with Kevin Byard's interception. And Kevin Byard right now is leading the NFL interceptions. And that stays up. He's going to be a Pro Bowl player. That's how it works. Production talk. So I love the play with Byard because it's a fire zone or a zone blitz. You're sending five, and they spin the safeties late. And Byard drops down. This is a veteran play. He is on, kind of topping the running back, releasing. He flips his hips like a corner and sinks underneath the outside route. I don't think J.J. saw him. I know he got hit when he threw it. But that's a great example of a veteran player taking advantage of a young quarterback who does not have a lot of experience just by his technique and his eye discipline in the secondary. On the deep throw that Wright had the interception on, J.J. could probably put it more to the upfield shoulder. That's a great play by corner. And that's what happens. You're not always in the right position. Can you recover? Can you make a football play? And he did that in that situation. But most of all with D.A., it's what he's done all year. A mix of two deep, single high, place him two man, rotate the safeties late, give him multiple looks, show pressure, drop out. There's a lot of things you can do to kind of cloud the look post-snap for J.J. McCarthy. And look, McCarthy, I'm not going to come down on JJ. He hasn't played a lot of football. And right now he's going through some issues in terms of his mechanics. His footwork needs to be a little bit cleaner. He is a fastball thrower. He's like a relief pitcher in the ninth inning. There's no question about it. He can heat up throws. I use the term high RPM thrower in the middle of the field. But I think he has to develop the ability to throw with more pace and touch in certain situations. But give credit to DA and the Bears. They did a good job. And then late in the game, the touchdown they threw, I mean, it is on Nashon Wright. He's trying to pyramid both routes. What I mean by that, guys, you have an outside vertical and a seam route. So if you're a corner, you're trying to pyramid. Play in the middle of both of them and read the quarterback. And it's a very hard technique. You can do it, but I think he just got caught a little far inside with his eyes inside and didn't recover quick enough.
Hey, Matt, I've been critical of Tom Brady as a broadcaster. Sometimes they've even made jokes about him cloning dogs or cloning quarterbacks. I mean, you probably don't remember. But I thought he was really good in this game, man. He taught me all kinds of stuff. Calling something a look pass. It was like I've been looking for a way to talk about the look pass. The drift route and just like there was other stuff. I felt like he elevated the conversation, even making us more prepared to talk to you on a Tuesday after I watched him do a game on a Sunday. What'd you think?
I think so, too. And I like listening to Brady. I know there's a lot of opinions out there on him. He's just started doing this. It's not an easy thing to do. And look, I've done it at an extremely low level. I called the high school state championships, I think, in 2012. And I was beyond nervous. I went back and watched it. I was terrible. I was absolutely terrible what I was talking about. And, you know, I couldn't pronounce the name right. And then sometimes if I didn't know the last name, I didn't know how to pronounce it, I'd just say, oh, good play by number 41. You know, so it takes a long time to get used to that. And I think you're starting to see now with Brady, he's getting more comfortable in the booth, just how knowledgeable he is, just how intelligent he is. And he's showing you how he played the game of football. And let's be honest, that's the highest level ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're going to touch on it at 5 o'clock as part of our Caleb conversation. Like, he had just little ways of describing quarterbacking that was like, oh, man, that just makes – it just cleans it up. It makes it so much more sensible as we sit here and try to dissect our third straight young quarterback here in Chicago.
Man. Yeah, and I think that when you have a great broadcaster who can do that, it becomes teaching sessions, right? And like you said, Speaks, it doesn't have to be a lot. It's just things that you don't get every day when you're listening to a football game. That's what you want as a fan.
You had brought up Nashon Wright, and we spent some time talking about him and his relationship with John Beam. Like, you have now, in this next chapter of your life, like, dedicated your life to being a coach and a mentor. And whether it's your own son or the guys that you treat like your own sons in the defensive backfield over at IC Catholic, I see all that pride. Was this hard for you, like, to see how he reacted and see how the world has reacted to John Beam? Because in a perfect world, you're trying to have an impact on young people and trying to help them live their dreams, even if their dreams aren't necessarily playing football at the next level.
Yeah, that's the power of coaching or the power of teaching. How many of us have had a favorite teacher in high school or at the college level and, you know, are so drawn to them because you want to impress them all the time. And you learn so much and you feel so comfortable and you have that relationship with your teacher and with your coach. That is a very powerful thing, a very powerful thing. I have many of them from the coaches I had, and especially from the teachers I had at Glenbard West and the University of Iowa. And my graduate program at DePaul that I owe a lot to, because they are true mentors. And it's a lot of times it's stuff that you need in your life. And I understand why Nashon was very emotional. I really understand why he was. And again, I go back to the power of coaching. It is a very special thing.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, in those moments, you could see why he would be like that. And it was beautiful, his tribute to his coach after the game and obviously during the game. But I know for a lot of coaches, like, that's really the goal. And you hate that he gets it has to be like posthumous, but clearly Nashon had a relationship with this guy that was going even last year. Like, he brought him to the city, right? And to see that level of love for someone who helped him out in a really rough time was a beautiful thing.
No, it really is. It really is. And I go back to what I just said. You can see why the emotions are there. Because whenever you lose someone in your life, especially someone who has mentored you in times of adversity, it's hard to replace.
And we saw it with Al Harris continuing it. Like, Al Harris, like, understood how much it meant to Nation, mm-hmm. and a current coach can step in. Matt, thanks for letting us in on everything. One favor, though, could you find those games that you did in 2012, you said, those high school games? Tanny just wants to hang out and listen to them, you know, just for his own entertainment.
Man, that was bad. I remember it was so bad that, like, there was, like, keys to the game that came up on the screen. The guy next to me, like tapped me on the shoulder, like, hey, you have to talk about this. So I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, no, I gave you the first time I did the fifth inning for the Cubs, or maybe the second, when I forgot how many outs there were and just froze for about 5-6 seconds. I'll trade you for that one. Yeah.
Well, wait, wasn't there also the time where you ended up doing the game alone and didn't know that you were doing the game alone?
Me? Oh, yeah, that was the best. That was spring training, man. Yeah, Matt, I was doing a game, and Ron Coomer, happy birthday, Ron Coomer, today, by the way. As a matter of fact, yeah. Right now.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you. Ron said, he told me about the third, you know, the team's leaving today. I'm going to be leaving with them. I'm going to be leaving with them. Seventh inning, Coomer.
There's a plane overhead. Folks, it's possible that my broadcast partner today, Ron Coomer, is on that very flight. Wyatt Short throws that one low and inside.
That's me solo.
And Matt, the worst part of that is like, sure, he left, but all of the guys that you know, they also left. So 100%. Now you're out there trying to call a baseball game with guys with numbers like 87 back of their jersey.
Matt, and the Rangers were playing their scrubs. I didn't even have a Rangers roster. I was like, was scrambling. It was terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, that's how you learn, though. I knew they were letting me do it. That meant, you know, that it was low pressure stakes. So
Matt, rough game.
Yeah,
rough game against the boys from Byron. They were physical, just like you said. Yeah. But now Coach gets to turn back into Dad. So what's Coach Dad going to be doing for the off season?
Well, I'm in the garage right now. I do the radio in the garage right now because I have four boys. Actually, Grant is at basketball today. They played 12 weeks of football. And we finished the season on Saturday. He's already at basketball practice today. So, for me as a dad, I'm going to drive Ronnie to basketball practice soon. Stuff like that. Do laundry. just be a dad. I'll tell you this, though. The end of the season as a coach is always, when you're in tournament play, is always so sudden. It is incredibly sudden. It just, it comes to an end so quickly, and it feels like you just started. And I give all the credit to Byron and their football players. They had an outstanding game plan. I need to do better as a coach. I'll tell you that right now. It's on us as coaches, especially on me as a coach. I need to get better. But I love coaching this football team. It's one of my favorites to coach. It really was. And it's always so sudden and so emotional when it's over. Because every team is different. Every team I've coached for 12 years has its own character, its own personality. It's really its own identity. And you only have that for a short period of time. And someone told me a long time ago, well, there'll always be boys to coach. And I responded with, well, yeah, but not these boys, right? Because it always changes. So you try to, and I'll say this, I know I'm up against time, guys.
You're good.
I'll say this. You know, when I got into coaching, I said I had to win, right? Okay, I had a major issue with it because if the player didn't win a title at any level, and it really, really bothered me. And I said, I had to win. I have to win doing this. It was my number one goal. And it quickly changed when I found out what coaching was really about. So I've been a part of four state title teams. But I'll tell you, having a goal of just winning a state title to me is very hollow because what you're actually doing as a coach in the state playoffs is you're buying time. And every time you win a football game, you get to buy another 7 days. Mm. And those 7 days can be priceless, especially if you're a senior. And it is true. I'll get to coach another group of kids next year. But those senior boys don't get to put their uniform on, don't get to put that helmet on anymore. And look, the rest of their life is ahead of them. They're going to grow up. This is a small part of it. But at the moment, it is the biggest part of their life. And that's how they view it. So I love coaching this team. I'm excited about the offseason and next year. Now it's time to drive Ryan to practice.
and get two dryer sheets in there. That's the best way.
I will.
At least two. Yeah.
Matt, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
That was great stuff. Thanks, Matt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Things First.
But if you could please throw up the playoff picture in the NFC, but keep the pick. Here's what it proved. I just want this to be my new profile picture on the internet. Because isn't that a beautiful thing? Your first place Chicago Bears at 7-3. Bears are going to the playoffs. They are. It's a race to 10.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Wait. You don't have to wait anymore. He's here right now. Joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Danny Parkins. Download the Circa app. Do it today. You can check out Danny on the newly expanded First Things First. That's from 4 to 5 p.m. on FS1. Danny, it's me, Marshall. How you doing? Clay Harper's also in studio with you.
Clay, thanks for wearing a jacket so I don't feel emasculated. That's good, man. That's good. I appreciate that. Like
pleasure, man. Anytime.
He did have that off for a segment. I just want to point that out. I think he put it back on for you and your securities.
That's good. No, when Clay walked into the studio one time in a tank top, I was like, what's about to happen here? I was very intimidated. It's like when I did TV hit sometimes on Fox 32, and it was me, Anthony Heron, and Shea Pepler Cornett. I was like, you guys are too attractive. Like, what is going on? It was very uncomfortable to look like me and be in HD with those people.
That is the risk you take when you decide that you want to go into the media field. And if you go from radio to television, you realize real quick, especially the bigger the show gets, that dang, I got to step my something up, right?
But it's okay. Now I sit next to Nick Wright. So now it's like, I'm like, okay, yeah, now me and him are like, it's kind of cool and it's easy, and that one's easy. But yeah, sitting next to Shay was rough, man. Like all your imperfections come out in 4K. That was rough.
That's a perfect analogy for what we're seeing with these Bears, because you know, they look good right now, but they're about to be sitting next to a lot of good teams, so their imperfections may come out and end up in L's instead of dubs in the win column. I know you said they're going to the playoffs. I think the opportunity is certainly there. I have not declared that yet, but let's be honest. They need to win 3 out of the next 7 games, and I can see 3 possible wins. It's like spades. I don't know if you're a spades player, but I can see 3 and a possible. They could get to 11 in my mind.
I know spades, but I was more of a dreidel guy than spades, just culturally. But
big euchre guy over here.
Euchre was my favorite. I'm not surprised.
It was a joke.
Yeah, you know, the point being, Danny, these mm-hmm. Bears they have a prime opportunity here. I'll start with the question we opened up this show with. Do you care whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays? Wouldn't you rather just get the 8th win and not have to face Aaron Rodgers if that's the easiest way to do it?
No, and frankly, I think anybody who would rather play the Steelers without Aaron Rodgers is not a real fan. Like, you don't have to be logical all the time.
Sure you do.
No, you don't. Like, fan is short for fanatic. Like, that's not what we're here for. Like, this team is not going to win a Super Bowl. They're not. And so is it a marginally more difficult game on Sunday if Aaron Rodgers plays instead of Mason Rudolph? Yes, it is marginally more difficult. But part of what is great about sports is the entertainment and the nostalgia and the trash talking and the memories and the history. Aaron Rodgers is 25 and 5 against the Bears. It's the third best record for a quarterback with at least 25 starts. It's Brady against the Bills, and it's Ben Roethlisberger against the Browns, and then it's Rodgers against the Bears. And he's got a 107.3 passer rating against the Bears, which is the most in the history of the NFL for any quarterback that's made at least 25 starts against the team. And he's won 80% of his games at Soldier Field. He's 12-3. So, like, I want to exercise those demons. I want to send him out with a loss. Caleb Williams, he's called him his football goat. He said that he's modeled his game after him. It would be incredible for Caleb if he got to say that he was 1-0 against Aaron Rodgers, his football hero. But more importantly, it would be amazing to be able to say that for all of Aaron Rodgers' accomplishments against the Bears, he was 0-1 against Caleb Williams, because he's never going to get another shot at it. So I'm fine with, well, the Bears have a 63% chance of winning the game against Mason Rudolph, but they have a 58% chance of winning the game against Aaron Rodgers. Like, fine. Like, I just want to be maximum entertained here, because this season's not ending with the Super Bowl anyway, so you may as well have fun along the way.
No. See, I don't think it's marginal, the difference. I don't think Clay thinks it's marginal either, the difference.
It is marginal.
Do you think it's marginal, Clay?
What do you think the point spread would be if Mason Rudolph was declared the starter?
Oh, that's not how I'm judging this, but I'm guessing the line wouldn't move much because the Bears are already favored.
Exactly. They'd be favored a little more.
Yeah, that's not how I'm measuring this. I'm just saying I understand that Aaron Rodgers gets rid of the ball really quickly, 2.5 seconds per throw, and that Mason Rudolph is more of a system game manager style quarterback. And the way Dennis Allen's defense has been playing and not pressuring people, I like their chances to not get picked apart, carved up, if you will, by one Aaron Rodgers. You know, like, Aaron Rodgers is going to do something that Mason Rudolph is probably incapable of doing. Also, to exercise demons against a guy with one arm, I understand the emotional attachment to that idea. I really do.
Do you?
But no, I do. I do. But listen to this. Listen to this, Danny. You talk about being fanatical. Like, be a fanatic in the freaking playoffs, because that's where you get to go if you just win the game. That's, you could be a fanatic longer.
You're favored against Aaron Rodgers. You can beat Aaron Rodgers, right? It is possible that the Bears
It's possible. Yes, it is possible. It is more likely that you win if you have Mason Rudolph back there.
How much more likely?
A little more likely?
Yeah, a little more likely. And I'm giving you 15 years of history.
I know the history.
To say that it's okay. I am willing to sacrifice a little more likely for a shot at beating Aaron Rodgers.
What happens if they lose to Aaron Rodgers? What happens if they lose to Aaron Rodgers? Just answer the question. What happens if they lose to Aaron Rodgers?
That would suck. But it would be like, you know what? I'm used to it. Like I've experienced it before. That, you know what I mean? Like I know that pain. It would be a bummer. And he would get to say, I still own you. And his record would be, I mean, like, wow.
And then Caleb Williams would be 0-1 all time against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, absolutely. But they'd go from Aaron Rodgers would go from 25-5 against the Bears to 26-5. Somehow, I think I'd be able to handle it. But the 1-0 for Caleb would be amazing. Like this is a new era of Bears football. I don't want to live in fear of Aaron Rodgers. Like Caleb can beat this guy. The Bears can beat this version of Aaron Rodgers. Like you know, if you're scared, get a dog, Marshall.
Here's what I alluded it to, Danny, and I go back to my time with, say, the Jaguars, the Eagles, and if they're telling me DeMarcus Ware is questionable, I'm on the Eagles, I know we got to double team him every play, we're going to change the game plan if he's there, and I'm not saying that's Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career, but if they tell me he's not playing, oh, great, perfect. We can run a different offense. I don't have to worry about chipping all game. I don't have to worry about being in the backfield and checking protection. We can run a different offense. It gives us a better probability to win the game. If he does play, perfect, fine. I'm not scared. I'm going to go hit this guy in the mouth and give him everything I got. But I do know that DeMarcus Ware is better than Anthony Spencer, who's backing him up. And I got a better chance of running a different style offense than I did if he wasn't playing. And I know it's not as big of a difference as it once was. But I think Aaron Rodgers definitely gives him a better opportunity. 107 passer rating, 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 67% completion percentage. This guy isn't playing that bad of football. That offensive line is fine, but he gets the ball out so quick and has seen so many coverages, you are not going to confuse this guy into getting the turnovers that you could against Mason Rudolph when you lead the league in doing such.
Point conceded. Don't care. Don't care.
I love that. You're right, Clay, but I don't care.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because this is sports. And by the way,
it's great theater.
Ask a Steelers fan right now, like poll 1,000 Steelers fans who they would rather have play, Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph. It's not 1,000 Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Zero Mason Rudolph. It isn't. They're not thrilled with how Aaron Rodgers has looked this year. Mason Rudolph has won plenty of games.
But Steelers fans are spoiled, entitled, and arrogant. I know that because I've dealt with them. I lived in Pittsburgh. I covered the Steelers. They think a bad year, like more than 50% of them want Mike Tomlin fired. They're not as smart as they're not a smart enough group for me to be concerned about what they think.
My point is that Mason Rudolph has won a lot of football games. Like this is, and by the way, the Bears lost to Snoop Huntley.
They did. Absolutely.
Snoop Huntley put up 30. Joe Flacco put up 470 yards and 4 touchdowns.
So what do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to do?
My point is, what do you think Mason Rudolph's going to do? The Bears can get carved up by anybody.
Yeah,
is the point.
Mason Rudolph was 1-4 with the Tennessee Titans. I know in 2003 he led the Steelers to that 3-0 end of the season, led them into the playoffs, had a solid year, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. They did lose to the Buffalo Bills, 2 touchdowns, 1 interceptions in that playoff game, but he did a good job there. But let's not forget he was 1-4 with the Titans, and I know he's playing with the Titans and what they do to quarterbacks, but I do think there's a little bit better of an opportunity for a win.
Guys, objectively there is. Objectively, there is. Of course, there is a little bit better of a chance that the Bears beat the Steelers with Mason Rudolph than Aaron Rodgers. No one is disputing that. What I am saying is that I am willing to risk the marginal larger chance of a loss for the significantly better feeling I would get of beating Aaron Rodgers than losing to Aaron Rodgers. You understand?
Like I think Chicago's with you. I think Chicago's with you.
They are. And I, you know,
yeah, you know why? Because they're Bears fans.
Yeah, no, I get it. What I'm saying is
I'm looking at it through the numbers. I'm just trying to get you to from point A, which is the beginning of the season, new head coach.
I am a numbers guy. What I am saying is, what are the Bears favored at right now? Three? They're favored by three?
It was 2.5 or 3 last time I checked.
If Mason Rudolph plays, it's like 1.5.
Okay, I'm saying to you
that it's like 4.5.
4.5. Maybe.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about like a point and a half on the point spread difference if it was announced today that Mason Rudolph is the starter at most. I really don't think we're not talking about going from Josh Allen to Mitch Trubisky here. this is not Lamar Jackson to Snoop Huntley, who's worth 7 points on the line.
I've seen Aaron Rodgers become Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
That was a different man.
Okay. And to your point, Danny, they've been carved up by a lot of people. Do you remember what happened before Russell Wilson took the field in the Giants game?
Jackson Dart.
Yeah, they were going to lose to Jackson Dart. But exactly. Dude, Marshall, they're not winning a Super Bowl. They're not very good.
But playoff experience is valuable. You'll give me that, right? If they can get to the playoffs, that is an experience that they don't have to worry about going through for the first time with Caleb Williams as a quarterback, with Ben Johnson as the head coach, with this younger team.
That's why I'm like, just get to
the playoffs and let the cards fall where they may, because now you're playing in games and you understand going through the motions, what it takes to get to the playoffs, all of that.
Sure, but I also saw a Bears team a couple of years ago. What was it, 2018?
You're talking about Matt Nagy, 12-4?
No. The one against the Saints. Like the 12-4, you went in with expectations and the double doink.
2020.
Two years later, when you play, when you're the last seed and you won 8 games or whatever it was, and you went in against the Saints and you got dog walked, like there wasn't a ton of like experience gained from that. Like it's yes, I want the Bears to make the playoffs. I think they will make the playoffs. And by the way, I think they can make the playoffs by playing Aaron Rodgers. And if they lose to Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph, we still come in here on Monday morning, and they can still make the playoffs.
I agree with that, too, but I'm trying to get them to the division title. I don't know. I'm trying to do maybe impossible things. Danny, we got a text here. We got a text here from, 217? Yeah, now I've lost it because the texts are flying in. Oh, my goodness. Would Parkins be willing to get his nipples pierced if Rodgers beats the Bears?
No. Just because I'm friends, just minimal. Just because I'm friends with Andrew Filippone doesn't mean I do the same things that he does. I'm not going to do that. I don't need to do that type of thing anymore, Marshall. I don't need to do that.
He's like, I made it. I don't need to do that crap anymore. Yeah. I got you, Danny. I got you.
I'm now respectable. I dress up like a king and make NFL gambling picks on national television.
Speaking of that, I was watching your show, man, and I saw your top 10 teams list. And I was a little surprised. Yep. Not surprised, but the Bears weren't on it. I want to know where the Bears are on that top 10 teams list, and if you have them ahead of the Steelers and the Packers.
Well, it's a good question because it's a top 10 list.
Yeah, so I mean, let's go top 20. Where are the Bears and the Steelers?
I don't spend as much time on the rankings between 11 and 20.
I think Clay just wants to know, do you have them in your mind right now ahead of the Steelers and or the Packers?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes, the Steelers, and no, the Packers, if I'm being totally honest with you. Like, I think that the thing that I trust most, if I was doing like Bears-Packers, Packers offense, Packers defense, Bears offense, Bears defense, I think the thing I trust most is the Packers defense of those four units. They've got losses to Cleveland when they gave up 13, Philly when they gave up 10, and Carolina when they gave up 16. Like, the Packers very easily could be undefeated right now. So I think the Packers, like, Jordan Love makes boneheaded decisions that sometimes he gets penalized for and sometimes he doesn't. Like, I'm not a huge fan of his game. I love that they're thinking about firing Matt LaFleur, which would just be completely idiotic. I think they need to pass the ball on first down a little bit more. I think he's been a little bit too conservative with his play calling, trying to get the running game started. I think the Tucker Kraft injury was big for Green Bay. So, like, and I picked Green Bay to miss the playoffs before the year and the Bears to make it. But I just think the Bears' injuries on defense, I can't quite get there yet if I want to be honest and not just a total homer. The Steelers, They spend more money on any team in the NFL on their defense, and they've got some real bad tape out there. So, like, sometimes they look great. You know, that game against Indianapolis where that game looked amazing. But they got a lot of duds on their schedule as well. So I think their offense is pretty predictable. You were talking about, like, the snap and throws and all of that in terms of how quickly they're getting it out with Rodgers. He clearly doesn't want to take hits at this stage of his life. And so I think the Bears I would have just ahead of the Steelers and just behind the Packers. But that's a good question. But thankfully, it's top 10 Tuesday. It's not top 16 Tuesday, you know? It doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well.
No, I get it. And Danny, we appreciate you, as always, stopping by every week, because I do enjoy these conversations, these discussions that we have, even if it can get a bit contentious, although I don't think today was contentious. But you have got the text line riled all the way up. They love what you're saying. They hate us. They think Clay's from out of town, which is hilarious. And he's the second time. Russell Dorsey was on our show earlier today, Danny, and they were like, oh, Russell doesn't know he's from out of town. Russell grew up right here.
I'm born in Libertyville, baby. Yeah, I lived
lifelong
in Dwight,
Bears fans. They just
Dwight,
hate
Illinois,
the message,
my whole
so
life.
They want to blame the messenger. But thanks so much for stopping by.
Reasonable minds can disagree, and I wish I was dealing with two reasonable minds on this subject. But, you know, that's just kind of how it has to be.
And I got
to
say, Danny, I love the show, man. I watch you guys every night, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And by the way, I will also just say this. I think this is a great talk radio topic, the Rodgers thing, but I also think it's likely moot because Aaron Rodgers, I think, and he's alluded to this, like, part of the reason he chose Pittsburgh was because of what the schedule, like, that he got to play Green Bay one more time, that he got to play Chicago. Like, he knew that. He's going to play. Like, Rodgers is going to play. I know they're not going to announce it, but he wants to play against the Bears badly. They're fighting for playoff position. They're trying to hold off the Ravens. So I think it's a great talk radio topic. I'm doing the monologue on it today on First Things First, so Bears fans can catch that. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very good. But I think ultimately this is going to be a lot of wasted breath because I do think Aaron Rodgers is going to play on Sunday.
All right. Danny Parkins giving his opinion. For more from him, you can catch him every day. First Things First, the newly expanded edition, 4 to 5 p.m. on FS1. Thanks, Danny.
See you guys.
All right, we get back to the Kyler Gordon discussion. His 21-day practice window has been activated. Clay Harbor, Marshall Harris, with more on that here on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.